I invite you to go on a journey with me this morning. We're going to imagine. I want you to think of a neighbor, co-worker, friend who you know is not a Christian. And I'd like you to imagine that you are that person for a few minutes here. It's October 30th, 2016, and you are a non-believer. You wake up, you get your coffee or whatever you like to do in the morning, and you look at the news. And I'm going to read headlines that I got off of a news site that over 10 million people visit every day during the week. And on weekends, the traffic increases by at least 100%. And I want you to imagine with me how you might feel if you were a non-believer. Here are the headlines. Hillary at war with FBI. Pool tampering. Russia blames U.S. for near collision over Syria. Hillary falters. Stock markets weaken. New earthquake hit central Italy. Buildings collapse. Woman number 12 accuses Trump of abuse. Charleston tense on eve of two racially charged trials. Dozens of children mysteriously paralyzed. You depressed? There's 20 more that I could read. Headlines. This website has over 40 headlines, and I couldn't find a single one this morning that was encouraging. But thank God, we're here and we're Christians. Matthew 28 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" That authority, if you read through Matthew, that authority was raising people from the dead. That was Jesus raising himself from the dead. And the list goes on and on and on. And that's the hope that we have. And I'm sick and tired of thinking about all the bad things in this world. And I can only imagine how depressed non-believers are. I work with one. And some days I can tell that it really wears on him. He said the other day, he is 65 or so, he said the other day that I guess they're getting ready for Social Security and they're taking some classes, and he's like, wow. He said, we don't even have enough money to get to the end of the road. Life is bleak. But the good news is we have the good news. So this morning, we want to encourage you, challenge you, to think about what you can do. You know, so often when I think about missions, I think about 100 miles from here or maybe overseas, and I forget that missions is right here, the people that I am with on a daily basis. You know, I'm sure that whoever you were thinking of a little bit ago, I'm sure that none of you thought of any of the families that Kent Byler works with. So even though Kents are on the mission field and they're in missions, I want you to think about the people that you can affect. You know, we all like to win. We all like to cheer for a winning team. And the good news is we are on that winning team. And are you really cheering? Our theme this morning is God is up to something big, and big spelled with capital letters. And the question is, are you in on this? Are you in on this big thing that God is doing? And we'd like to take you in three different directions this morning. Three different areas that you can become involved. Or maybe you're already involved and just need some encouragement, because we all need encouragement. We'd like to talk a little bit about what you can do in terms of finances. We'd like to encourage you in ministry, whether it's local or foreign. And last but not least, we want to encourage you in training. You know, in our culture, I say culture, in our Anabaptist culture, we are really, really good at sending people. In other words, Jordan, you want to go on the mission field? Well, let's send you. We'll give you $1,000. Go tomorrow. But we're realizing more and more we need to spend more time in training and thinking and planning and saying, okay, if I want to go on the mission field, or if I want to do missions, whether it's local or foreign, maybe I need a little bit more training. So on the finance piece, we'll do this a little backwards this morning, but on the finance piece, as a missions team, we've had the opportunity of blessing our missionaries with the funds that you have given, but we've got a small problem. Currently, our fund has about $12,000 in it, and we're supporting our missionaries. The support we're sending out is about $4,600 a month. And on average, we're receiving about $2,700 a month in gifts. So you do a little bit of math, and the end of the road is fast approaching. But I believe that we serve a big God, and we're going to do and use whatever He gives us. There's a letter in your mailboxes detailing where we're giving the money. I'm not going to go into those details now, but I will mention that if God is calling you or leading you or prompting you to give, there's two things you can do. One is in 2 weeks, there's a regular scheduled missionary support offering, and you can give some extra money that morning. Or twice a month, we don't talk about it a lot, but twice a month, those who are participating in the Mission Faith Giving, you can give some extra money and just earmark on the offering envelope, MFG, stands for Mission Faith Giving, and that will go into the Mission Fund. And the exciting thing about this whole mission business is right now we are supporting Jim Gockenauer's, Lois Lapp, Susan Brubaker, and Kent's, plus the Baghdad radio station. And there's a number of people in our church that are actively pursuing going on the mission field here in the coming year. So God is at work. God is doing some amazing things in our congregation. But we don't want to just focus on those who are going. We want to focus on those who are staying and doing here. So the rest of the morning, for the order of the service, Austin is going to come up here and share about his time at Bald Eagle. He came back 2 months ago. He was in Bald Eagle as a chief for 2 years. And I asked Austin to share what he learned, what God's doing in his life. And then after Austin will be Jeremy. Jeremy just came back from an intense 2 months in New York City at the training center. So I asked Austin to share a little bit about what it's like to be at the training center, what he's learning, what God is teaching him. And then on the back end, Matt Musser is going to share about an exciting opportunity we have as a church to actually go to the Mission Training Center for an extended weekend in March. And it's open to everyone. So Matt, you'll have some more details on that. So we'll go in that order. Austin, Jeremy, and then Matt.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back. I've been home for 2 months, but haven't been here very much yet. A few Sundays, but it's interesting how God's already pulling this morning together. Some of my thoughts have already been covered in a few different ways. I was wondering, I don't know, Tim, if you can pull up that song, Jesus, Hope of the Nations, I think it was, that we sang during worship. First slide there was, some really good stuff. I want to talk about some of my experiences at Bald Eagle, but hopefully what I have to say can be a lot bigger than Bald Eagle. Because we're not all called to Bald Eagle, but we are all called to spread the gospel wherever we're at. And maybe for some of you, that will be Bald Eagle Boys Camp someday. They're always looking for chiefs. They're always looking for young ladies to come as cooks or secretaries. There's lots of ways for us to get involved. They look for work groups to come and help out with different things. Maybe for some of us, God will call us to Bald Eagle Boys Camp like he did me. But wherever we are and whatever we're doing today, God is at work through his people. And I think the question that was asked already is really good. Are you in? And what are you doing right now where you're at to spread the gospel? I love the first verse of this song. Because Jesus is a comfort for all who mourn. He's a source of heaven's hope on earth. Light in the darkness, truth in each circumstance. And at camp as a chief, I saw Jesus in these ways. Up close and personal. And I guess basically what I'd like to do is share a couple stories and talk a little bit about some of the things that I did and how God has changed my life through what I've done. Thanks, Tim. You can close it again. I'll talk about a couple ways that God, showed up for me personally, for my guys, for my group. And I don't know how much you guys know about camp, so I'm just going to kind of blaze through, and if you need more details later, I guess you can come talk to me. But there's a lot of times where we're on trips, and you need certain things on trips. You take your supplies and stuff along, but you can't take enough water for 3 weeks. So you gotta find people that are willing to give you water when you're out on a canoe trip specifically. You need water every couple days. And you're carrying, I think we carried about 20 gallons with us at a time. But 20 gallons doesn't go real far when you're using it for cooking and drinking water. So usually every 2 to 3 days, we're looking to fill those containers back up again. And I remember one time specifically, we were on the Shenandoah River on a 3-week trip, and we were out of water. We needed water badly. It was hot, summertime, it was August. we needed water, and we didn't know where we were going to find water. There wasn't really, I think we're right where we were at, there just wasn't a real good place to get it. There wasn't houses around or something. I forget exactly what the details were. But it was also getting late in the day, and we needed a place to camp. And so eventually we did find a place where we could get some water. I think we had circled up as a group that time and just prayed about it. You know, God, we need water. We need water now. Pretty soon we found a place where we could get water. It was an older gentleman's house. He was very, well, actually, right as we were walking up to the house, it was me and I think one of my boys, or maybe two of my boys, we were walking up to the house, you know, just hoping that somebody would be there and that they would be able to provide us with water. And just as we were walking up to the house, a car pulled in the driveway. And it was this older gentleman, and he was happy to give us water, but, you know, he had been away all day. And right at the moment that we walked up, he showed up. Another time, we were looking for campsite. This was actually just recently. This was in August of this year. My group was going on a setup trip, and we were looking for a place to camp. My co-chief had kind of gotten the details of the trip together. He'd figure out where we wanted to camp and whatever. We got on the river late that day, and things just, they weren't going real well for us. Earlier in the day, we got on the river late. We were supposed to go 8 miles total, I think. We got down there. It's getting late in the day. We needed to find campsite. We needed to get campsite set up. We got to have the boys in bed before dark. You don't want your group out after dark on a trip. That's just bad news. A lot of bad things can happen. So anyway, we're like desperately searching for a campsite, and where a campsite was supposed to be, well, we didn't find a campsite. There was no campsite there. So we went downriver a little bit further, and looked like a fairly nice place to camp, but it looked like, there was evidence there. I think there was an old picnic table that's kind of broken down and some stuff there. It was fairly obvious that this was private property, even though it wasn't marked that way. But we're at daylight. It's like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening at this time, I think. And I was like, guys, we have to camp here. We don't have a choice. So we're there unloading our canoes, and upstream a little ways, or downstream a little ways, we see a golf cart or something come down and park there, and he's sitting there watching us. I was like, oh boy, here we go. Somebody's going to come run us off yet. And so nothing happened for a little while. We got the canoes unloaded. We're setting up tents. We're in the middle of setting up tents. All of a sudden, this pickup truck comes flying in into Kansas at a high rate of speed, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. And so anyway, I went over and talked to the guy right away, and he was pretty upset that we were camping on his property. And I'm just like, explain who we are, what we're doing. And he got some contact information from me, and he's calmed down a little bit. And he's like, oh, okay, you're good to go. I was like, wow. and he left, and we never heard from him again. But it was okay for us to camp there for the night. And, I could tell, many more stories like that where God just showed up. We needed something. We had to have something. Sometimes we're in the middle of a problem, that one line in the song there, truth in each circumstance. As a chief, sometimes you get into a problem with your guys, and there's no clear word on exactly what the problem is or where the problem came from, or, what is even truth here. And it's pretty easy to get lost. There's a lot of times in a problem where it's like, God, I have no clue. Where do I even go here? And God, you know, just provided a way through that problem. We were able to figure things out as a group. And, you know, sometimes it took a couple hours, but, you know, we got to the bottom of it eventually. Remember, you know, different times where I was feeling pretty discouraged. With what I was doing, and yeah, just down and out. And I would pray, you know, in the morning as I was having my devotions. I remember specifically one time where I prayed. I was just asking God, I was like, God, I'm down. I'm out. I need some hope. I need some encouragement here, one way or another. And could you please, you know, give me something to keep going? And that night, or the next morning, I went to bed that night, and next morning I woke up, and there's a note on my porch from my tent from one of my supervisors, and just said, yeah, it was just a note of encouragement. Just, you know, hey, appreciate this about you and what you're doing here, and just keep it up. And it was exactly what I needed. At the exact time that I needed it. And so God, you know, he was working. Another way that God really showed up, sometimes, yeah, there was a few times at camp. Most of the time, it wasn't this way, but there was a few times at camp where I was kind of stressing out about how I was going to pay for this or that or the other thing. As a chief, you need to buy a lot of stuff. You need a lot of clothes. Winter stuff especially is very expensive. And I had, of course, my vehicles. I needed to pay insurance or repairs or whatever. And there was a few times, you know, in the process of, you know, those bills coming due that I was like, God, I have the money in my savings, but I really don't want to be yanking all kinds of money out of my savings. And by that time, you know, my monthly support from church would show up, and there was like a huge, you know, extra 100 or 500 or 300 in addition to what I was supposed to get, and it was just what I needed to meet that need. And the youth group, you guys sent up a big box of winter clothes for me that first winter. That was huge. You guys have no idea how much that meant to me. There was other times where we didn't have phone service there at camp. I had to drive the whole way to town, about 5 miles, to get any phone service. And there was, you know, normally every weekend when I was off, at some point I would go to town. And it was just awesome. Sometimes I'd go out to town, and about the time I'd hit service, my phone would just start buzzing and beeping, and I just couldn't quit. And there would be a whole bunch of text messages there from specifically the youth group, from other people here at church, just let me know that they're praying for me and they're thinking about me, and just encouragement. Remember one of my birthdays at camp, I got a card signed by the whole youth group. That was really awesome. And different people from the rest of you here at church sent me cards or notes of encouragement or gifts or whatever. And yeah, it's just a lot of different things that, you know, God uses that stuff to encourage you when you're out there. I mean, yeah, you don't really realize how badly you need your church family until you don't have them anymore, and you're not coming to church every Sunday. And yeah, so really appreciate that. Yeah, we're talking about, you know, Missions Training Center and training for missions. Jeremy's going to talk some about that too. I don't know that I really had necessarily missions training, or I don't know what that is even. What's missions training? But a couple things I did do before I went to Bald Eagles. I went through the counselor training program at Life Ministries. And I also went to EBI, to Bible school, for 2 years. And I can't count the amount of times that I referenced stuff that I learned either at Bible school or at counselor training as I was working with my guys. Over and over and over again, something I learned in those classes came back to me in a problem or in just speaking into one of these boys' lives. The training that I had was absolutely invaluable to me when I was out there. And so, yeah, if you are thinking about missions, I definitely want to encourage you to pursue those opportunities. Find some way to train. And I think probably the most important thing is just a good knowledge of the Bible, because the only reason we even go to a place like Bald Eagle or to Jeremy's going to Mexico or these other places around the world, the only reason we go at all is because of Jesus and because of the work that he's done in our lives and also the work that he wants to do in other people's lives. And if we don't know the Bible, if we don't know Jesus, if we don't know what he's about, there's no way. We don't have much to offer. And it's all right here in the Bible. And so getting that training, getting that teaching, gave me more to offer to my guys. So yeah, I guess, you know, as I'm coming back and getting back into work and just getting back into life here in Lancaster County, it's not, you don't, I didn't leave the mission field, I guess is what I want to say. I'm not a Bald Eagle anymore. But what do the people around me see when they see me? Are they seeing Jesus? Am I being Jesus to the people right here? Or do I feel like I have to go somewhere to share Jesus with other people? And I would like to say that that's a lifestyle. As a chief, I'm living with my boys. I don't think they saw Jesus so much from what I said. I don't think they learned anything about Jesus so much from what I had to say as the way I live my life. Living with these boys all the time, they're seeing something. I'm teaching them something. Am I teaching them about Jesus, or is it all about me? And it's the same way for us here in Lancaster County. It doesn't matter where you are. People are watching your lifestyle more than they're hearing your words. And so if your life reflects Jesus Christ, then they're going to see that. And that carries a lot more weight. So I think I pretty well used up my time and probably overtime here. But appreciate all the support, all the prayers, just everything that you as a congregation did to support me. And very, very grateful for that. God is up to something at Bald Eagle. He's up to something in Lancaster County. He's up to something in Mexico and wherever else we go. How are we going to be a part of that? And maybe it is right here. We're going to be given supporting our missionaries financially. That's very, very important. But how are we living our lives right here, right wherever God has you right now? So, thank you.
Good morning. I want to say thank you for the worship time, Matt and Kathy. It was very, very fitting. And also thank you, Austin, for sharing. It was really encouraging. I also want to thank you for all your prayers. For those of you who don't know, I committed to a 2-year term in Mexico, working at the Light of Hope Orphanage. And everybody that signs up for a 2-year or more commitment with D&I has to go through long-term orientation in New York City at the Mission Training Center. A couple of the things that I mentioned up on the PowerPoint that you all could pray for me is that I would get out of my comfort zone. And I realized I really need to be careful what I ask for, because I got pushed way out of my comfort zone, more than I could even imagine. And I imagined that I was going to get pushed pretty far. I also prayed for a good connection with the guys that I'll be working with down at the orphanage. There's three other guys that I'll be working with down at the orphanage, and really good connection, really solid guys. Felt like I was, there's just a really good connection, and that was a really big answer to prayer. For those of you who don't know what the Mission Training Center is, or what LTO, or long-term orientation, is, they do two per year. They do a fall and a spring one. Each are 6 weeks. Everybody, as I said earlier, everybody that signs up for a two-year commitment with DNI or more has to go through this. Not everybody that goes through it is with DNI. Some other mission organizations or agencies require it for their missionaries as well before they go on the field. So there was four single guys, four single girls, and four families that were in it this year, or this spring LTO. And all of the families had babies like under 2 years, and the one had five kids under the age of 10. So there's kids everywhere. That was a lot of fun. Some of them were leaving right after. Some were waiting a couple months. I'm not going to Mexico until next May. The other guys that I'm working with are leaving within the next couple months. I think I'm going to share a couple stories from my experience. I'm not sure how many of you know Alan Roth. He's the administrator of Destinations International, and he lives in New York City, and he taught a couple classes there. And every afternoon we go out for an hour or two to do outreach and just talk to people about Jesus in the parks, on the street, anywhere. And the one day I went with Alan. Sometimes we go by ourselves, sometimes we go in groups. So it's just me and Alan walking to this park about six or seven blocks away. And for those of you who know Alan, he doesn't walk, he marches. And he's about yay high. He's 60s or 70s. And this guy, I have no idea how he does it. It was cold and it was wet, and we were just marching along, and I'm my legs are twice the size of him, and I'm doing all I can do to keep up with him, holding the umbrella. So we get to this park, and he marches off and, talks to the first guy he sees, and I'm just kind of walking around trying to work up the courage to talk to somebody. And eventually I see this guy walking his dog, and so I just went up and talked to him, and he just unloaded, pretty much shared his whole life story with me. And he was in the army, he played baseball and stuff, all kinds of stuff. He's on disability now. But he shared, sometimes he went to church, and he shared that he just feels this peace that just overwhelms him when he's at church. And I asked him, why do you think that you feel that peace? And he said, it's probably because I guess Jesus is there. I'm like, yeah. And so I asked him, if he knows that he can have that peace all the time if Jesus lives inside of him. And he wasn't too interested. And it was kind of discouraging. But one thing they really drill into you at the Mission Training Center is success in witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Spirit and leaving the results to God. And so, we can do all we can, but really it's God's work. It's not about us. And even me being up here, it's not about me. It's about God's work. And they also say quite often in class there are two kinds of people in this world. There are weak peoples that make themselves available to God and weak ones that don't. And so, yeah, that's what I want to be, is just a weak person available to God. And that's what I want to challenge you all with as well. There's another story. It was the last day that we had outreach. And sometimes we do one-on-one. Sometimes we go to the train station and sing as a group. And so this last day, we sang as a group, and we were in the train station singing. And there's, if people would stop, we had like a table with a bunch of literature. If people would stop, we'd talk to them. And about halfway through our singing, there's this black guy that was standing like 10 yards out in front of us with his arms crossed and just like glaring at us for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Just like sometimes he'd smile, but it was a really creepy smile. And a couple of the guys went up and tried to offer him stuff, and he just like did that number like to look at them. It was really, really creepy and weird. And so we were singing, and I was like, man, if that guy's still there when we're done, I'm going to go talk to him. And so I was getting like really fired up, and one of the other guys was getting kind of fired up too. And so then we were all done singing, they were wrapping up, and so me and my other friend went and we talked to this guy, and I said, I decided beforehand if he didn't say anything, I was just going to like share the gospel with him. And it ended up that he did talk then, and it sounds like he's a part of a cult that believes Jesus was black, and that that he's Jewish, and that his particular group is the only true people that are going to go to heaven. And it was some really weird stuff. He said he's looking forward to persecuting us and stuff, and we're all going to hell, and that we're sons of the devil and all that. But we just shared the gospel with him and came back with scripture, you know, saying that we're going to, like, the Bible says that if we believe God, you know, we're going to heaven. And as I was walking away, I just said, thanks for the encouragement. And you should have seen the look on his face. He was so confused. And so, yeah, then we left. And, yeah, it was an interesting experience. Some of the biggest things that I learned while there is that Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not a set aside time where, you know, here you do missions or here you do Jesus. It's every area of your life, whether you're at home or at work with your coworkers or with customers. When you come to the end of your life, nothing's going to matter unless it affected eternity. And so how does that change the way I live my life? And that's really one thing you could pray for me as I come back, that I could keep that fire alive and that I could live out Christianity for what it really is. And like I said earlier, I'm not leaving till next May, so that I would know how to use what I learned back home here. The Mission Training Center also does internships, six-month internship and nine-month internship. If any of you are interested, I think you have to be single. But besides that, I don't think there's a whole lot of requirements. So yeah, thanks for the prayers, and yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Austin and Jeremy, for sharing. Sundays like this that make being on the mission team really awesome and exciting, gets me really fired up. There's a lot of thoughts I have running through my head trying to think how I'm going to say everything, but one thing that I just really appreciated, Austin, I really appreciated his testimony about support from the youth group and from the congregation. Support teams that are, you guys that are a direct support team to our missionaries, never underestimate what that means. And you heard it personally from Austin, but it's being on the mission field, being out there somewhat alone or outside of what you're used to is intense battle. And it's one way that we can partner we're doing battle with them. As a support team, you guys are doing battle with the missionary that you're directly, you know, in touch with. And so don't underestimate what you're doing, even in the small ways, sometimes the bigger ways. Prayer, words of encouragement, all that stuff, that is huge. You guys are engaging in spiritual warfare with those that are on the field. Also, just love what Austin was saying about his time at Life Counselor Training and EBI, and Jeremy talking about D&I and the training that you guys received, and to know that in those moments when you don't have answers, that's the Holy Spirit bringing stuff that you learned. And I know how it feels for our time at IGO, leaving there being so full and knowing you've received so much, and like, how in the world am I ever going to remember all this stuff? Like, I'll never remember. But in that moment of pressure, crying out to God, the Holy Spirit brings that to you, and you can apply it and use it. And so it's awesome to hear personal testimony of what it's like, of what training has done in positive ways and affecting the mission field where you guys went. We're just excited as a missions team for the interest that you guys have in missions, and we want to be there for you, and we want to empower you and prepare you and whatever it takes. Just in case you don't know, it's Merlin, myself, and Merle Yoder are the three of us that are on the team, and our wives as well. And so if you guys have any questions or anything that's the Lord's burning in your heart, feel free to come talk to us. We'd love to journey with you. As I was sitting here listening to you guys share, my thoughts went to Ephesians 3. Just want to share a few verses before I'm done. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. It's my prayer for us as we live out what God has for us here, as we look at what maybe God's calling us to in the future, whether it's moving away or whether it's being involved in organizations locally. This is my prayer. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Sometimes take those verses apart a little bit. It's a lot to take in, but when we think about missions and reaching out to people locally and foreign, it's that understanding of the fullness of Christ dwelling in us. That's how we can pour out and be vessels of use. So, once again, just a reminder, March 16 to 19 next year, keep it in mind. And if you're interested in going, please be in touch. All right, God bless.